I'm glad to have been a part of their family. And Brother Barry grew up here, went to school here, graduated here, played ball here. You heard some of those get up there, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did. Yes, I did.
Run the steps, and as you go by, run faster so you don't get a smack on the back. But good to have Barry with us this morning. And you pray for him and his family, because Saturday will be a hard day and a day of remembering and memorial. But it's worthy. And so, Brother Barry, you preach to us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Well, it is good to be here. And I do thank the Lord for his blessings. I thank the Lord for grace that the Lord gives us, supplies. I love this place. We've got a lot of memories here. A lot of memories made. We sat down and went through pictures. My mom had several picture albums, and we sat down and went through them to look at them and to get some of my dad and to use Saturday. But it just brought memories back to see some of the pictures. So we're gonna have a little video tribute to start the service off with Saturday, but all the precious memories. This is where the Lord met me, right here in this place. Sunday morning, 1974. My father led me to the Lord. And I'll never forget that. It's been precious to me. Our pastor. World is somewhat small when you think about it. But our pastor we have now, Brother Beverly, Don Beverly. My father led him to the Lord as a 17-year-old boy. Down at Calvary and Crane. Good to see Brother Tommy and Miss Linda here. And we've got a lot of precious memories of that place as well. But anyway, he shared his testimony and that. So God used my father, used him a lot. And he would tell you, if he was here, standing here right now, he'd tell you that it wasn't him. That it wasn't him. You know, I was thinking, we was talking about, you know, where was we saved and when was we saved? Well, I was saved here on a Sunday morning. But you know, my father, where he was saved, and I've heard him give his testimony so much, it's like I just know it. And he was saved in Paducah, Kentucky, sitting in a sales meeting. He sold life insurance. In fact, that's how he wound up here in the Madisonville area in Hopkins County, selling insurance. But he said, of course, they'd been going to church. Him and my mother had been going to church. And like you talked about, I mean, listen, the Holy Ghost conviction fell on him. He tried every way in the world to dodge it. He joined the church. He started teaching Sunday school. He started going out and knocking doors. He was doing everything he could do in the church, everything he could do to deflect that conviction and not have to face the fact that he had never been born again. But about 1963, he came to the end of himself, and he was sitting in a sales meeting. That seems very unusual, but he said it's like the Lord just moved in right there. He said the Lord began to work in my heart right there in the middle of that sales meeting. And he said the Lord just overwhelmed me. And he said there I called on him and trusted him. And he said that I just began to weep. And he said I tried to wipe my eyes and hope I wouldn't, make a scene. And he said, by the time I'd get my eyes all wiped out and I'd start to settle down, he said, next thing you know, tears would just start flooding again. And he had to get up and walk out. But I'm glad God can save anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Amen.
I thank God for that. But he's that kind of God, isn't he?
Yes,
I think somebody made a song out of that and they sang it. He can save anybody, anywhere, anytime. And that's a good thought. But I do, I'm thankful for the precious memories. Thankful to all that has reached out to us. And the kind words, the messages, and just all the things that's been done for us. And you pray. We're trying to settle his affairs. He had a will, and we're executor of the state, and I won't get into that. So we're trying to take care of all of that. He didn't have a whole lot, but God was good to him. But it looks like I'm going to have to make a trip to Thailand. I'm going to have to make probably one trip to Thailand because of the fact that he lived there as well as here. So he has part of his estates over there. So I've got to go over there. And I'm not real excited about having to fly that far. That's 20-something hours in the air. And several layovers. But you pray with us about that. We'd appreciate that. God knows, and God wants us to go over there and take care of it. Because I want to do right. And I want to try to settle everything, and I want God to get all the glory out of it. Because I want my dad's testimony to stand. I don't want to see my dad's testimony be marred in any way. I don't want to give anybody an opportunity to do that, but I want to see my father and his testimony, what we're going to do Saturday. He's done been buried, and he used to tell me, he said, son, it doesn't matter to me where I go. He said, wherever I'm at, he said, I'm not going to be there anyway. He said, they're just going to lay me in the ground. He said, but I'm going to be gone. And over the last few months, when we could talk and he was able to talk to me and kind of clear, he'd tell me and say, son, I know people tell me not to do this, but he said, I'm just praying, Lord, come get me. Of course, I'd cry a little bit. And I knew what he meant, and I knew why he wasn't being selfish. He hadn't been able to go to church in about a year. Fell and broke his hip. Fell and broke his back. He was tired and he was just ready to go home. He was ready to go see that one he had preached about for 55 years. And he'd say, son, I know some tell me not to do that, but he said, I pray, Lord, just come get me. I'm ready. And he was. The day that he passed, the day the Lord took him home, his wife called, and because of the technology with phones, we could video each other. So we was on video, and I could see her, and she could see me, and we talked for a little bit, and then she took the phone over to my dad and put it up to him and let me talk to him. God let me say goodbye to him. And I told him, Dad, told him who I was, and I said, Dad, I believe he could hear me. And I said, Dad, I love you. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to meet again. And I believe that. That's the blessed hope we have as believers. You know, Paul said, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope, do we? And he was struggling to breathe, and it looked like maybe he was trying to say something. But he just couldn't speak. He couldn't respond. And I got a call about 3 hours later that he had passed on. But the last few years he had been working with another missionary. In fact, him and this other missionary, Brother Green, were married to sisters. And he had been helping him. He had started a church there in Chiang Mai, the city they lived in. But he was at home. He had been in and out of the hospital. but he was at home, and he had quite a few people around him, so he wasn't alone. And dear Brother Green, in his last hours, though, I mean, as the hours went on, he sat right there at his bedside, had his arm, just laid his arm on him, let him know, just let him know he's there. And he said, I took the Bible and I just started reading to him Psalms 23. And he said, I'd look and he'd be breathing. And he said, I looked up one time and he took a breath. Next second, nothing. He just stopped. And he said, he just drifted off. The Lord just come down and guided him, carried him home. So he went peacefully, and I'm thankful for that. Oh, I'm thankful for that. And I don't know, I'm going to try to give you something this morning. And, you know, just overwhelmed with some things. But you pray with us. We appreciate it. I know you have been. I know this church has been. I know that, and I appreciate that. I thank the church for their willingness to let us have the service here and that. But Paul wrote to Timothy. Anyway, if I can find this, thought just came to me, and I want to read it, and I should know right where it's at. Excuse me, it's not Timothy, it's... Well, I've got a lot on my mind here. But anyway, in the book of Titus chapter 3, I want to just read something to you here and actually, back in chapters 2. We'll back up in chapters 2, beginning in verse 11. And then we'll read down into the third chapter. But Titus 2 and verse 11 says this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14 tells us, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Verse 3 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also, notice, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But all verses 4 and 5. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. Oh, what scriptures this is before us this morning. All right, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the day. Thankful for Brother Logston and the message. Lord, we sensed it come from the heart. And Lord, that's always our prayer, that, Lord, we can just share our heart. And Lord, I pray You'd help me now for just a few minutes. Lord, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement. Lord, we just need You today. Oh, Lord, we stand in need of Your presence, Lord. I'm thankful how You've spoke to me already, through the message and through the Word of God. And Lord, that is my desire this morning. As Brother Logston said, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want the touch of God on my life. Oh, I want to be able to preach. Oh, Lord, that, you know, that's becoming a lost art. But, Lord, I want to preach. That's all I've ever wanted to do since you called me is preach. And I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, just touch me and feel me and loosen me today and let me preach for just a few minutes. Lord, let me preach that I might exalt thee. And Lord, that it might lift you up and exalt you. You've said that, Lord, if you'd be high and lifted up, you'd draw all men unto yourself. And so, Lord, we just want to magnify you this morning, exalt you for just a few minutes. Lord, we just want to brag on you, and Lord, we just want to glorify you this morning with what, Lord, you've laid on our hearts. And just lead and guide throughout this service and the day. Thankful for this church and thankful for their labors and their efforts that they have this every year. And Lord, what a blessing it is. Now just quieten us for a few minutes and help us to hear from heaven. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking, you was talking about men that you heard preach and great men. I wasn't very old. We were living in Texas and living in the Dallas, Texas area. But there was a church over in Fort Worth, I believe it was, Rolling Hills, back in those days, Rolling Hills Baptist Church. And they had Dr. Harold Seitler in to preach. And me and my dad went over there, and I got to hear him in person. And what a preacher he was. Let me tell you, what a preacher. I remember I had some money. I don't remember if it was birthday money or something, but I had some money. And this tells you how far back this goes. He was selling vinyl albums that had his messages on it. The big 78s. And I bought one, had two or three of his messages on it. And I think he signed it, and what a blessing it was. And I've listened to him through the years. And I go to YouTube a whole lot now, and I find all these preachers and all these messages. And what a blessing that they have been to me, even though I didn't really know them, and I didn't really, wasn't. They died before I really would got to have known them and that, but still God has used them in my life, and I'm thankful for that. And I remember a message, and my dad was telling me about it, then I heard it on tape that Dr. Seitler preached, and I forget where he was at. He may have been preaching at, this was years ago, may have been at Tennessee Temple in the chapel or something, but he preached a message, and he said, I want to preach to you for a little while on warm bread from God's oven. And man, what a message. And that stuck with me. And listen, and that's my desire. Hey, that when I stand and I preach and I open the Word of God, it's my prayer. Hey, listen, that I'll have some warm loaves from God's oven. And we find here that Paul writes to Titus here, and he tells us about the grace of God. Hey, listen. The only way that you and I can serve the Lord, the only way that you and I, hey, can do that which God wants us to do, hey, it's by the grace of God. Notice what he said in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We know that. So listen, this grace has appeared. We know it did. It appeared in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, did it not? That was grace personified, or really that was grace come down. I like to say it like this, that was heaven came down to a sin-cursed earth. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've been studying and thinking a lot here lately about the birth of Christ. And been looking at some things and studying. And I ran across, I think I read it somewhere, and I'd never heard it put like this about His birth. His virgin birth, His incarnation. I know there's those that deny that, but I'll tell you this morning, I still believe it. Hey, I still believe it. I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe in the virgin birth. Hey, I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe, hey, that the Holy Ghost overshadowed, hey, a young maiden, hey, and by the power of the Almighty she conceived, hey, and gave birth to the Son of God. I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that. But they put it like this. They said, listen, hey, what happened inside Mary's womb at that moment of conception, that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, stepped into that womb. She gave birth to the Son of God. Was that not the announcement the angel made? What is that? That's heaven come down, isn't it? That's God come down. That's the grace of God. Hey, and it's come down, and the Bible says here that it's appeared to all men. So it is the grace of God. In fact, let me go back to John chapter 1 for just a moment. John chapter 1. Notice what it tells us. And we're going to get into this grace here in just a minute. And what Paul wrote to Titus. But just not to labor this too long, let me look at my watch here. I don't want them. All right. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Very familiar to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. But notice, John begins his gospel here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in case anybody doubted what the Word was, it's capitalized here so we know what that means. But if there's any doubt with anybody, hey, he tells us in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. There it is. Hey, there's heaven come down in the person of Jesus Christ. Hey, He's that Word that was made flesh. Hey, He came down and wrapped Himself in flesh. You know, in fact, it tells us in Hebrews, and quoting from the Old Testament, hey, where the Son was talking to the Father and He said, a body Thou hast prepared for Me. He came down and wrapped Himself. Hey, and in case somebody still wondered, who's the Word? Who's this Word that's become flesh? Notice what else He says in verse 14. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No doubt who that is, isn't it? You know what? He said, we beheld His glory. The glory is what? As the only begotten. But I understand now that there are Bibles that's taken that out. Now their Bibles read the only Son, not begotten. They've taken that out. Some of them have went so far as to take the only out. You think about that for a minute. You take only begotten out of John 3:16, and what do you have? You don't have the Son of God, do you? No, listen, you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, they have no right to do that. They've got no authority to do that. Hey, listen, it's not for you and I to take, hey, and cut the Bible up, hey, and take things out of it and add things to it. No, it's the only begotten of the Father. You know why that is? Because they don't like His virgin birth. They don't like His incarnation. They don't like Him as the Son of God or God the Son. So they take it out. What am I saying? Here's the point. Here's the thing. Listen, it's heaven come down in the person of Jesus Christ to this sin-cursed earth. Hey, to live that sinless life and to lay that life down as a sacrifice. Hey, and to pay the sin debt for the world through His shed blood. Oh, yes. Bless His name, Brother Benny. Bless His name. So that grace could come to you and I. We could be recipients. Notice John 1, verse 11 and 12. He came unto his own received Him not. But notice verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That grace comes to those that's willing to receive Him, doesn't it? Those that will open their hearts and, hey, we'll receive Him. Recipients. You know what He'll do? He'll pour His grace out into your heart and He'll change you. What's happened today when there's a salvation that makes no change? What's happened? Hey, listen. I'll never forget that day. I was just 8 years old, but I remember the day when the Lord came down right where I was at, met me right where I was at, and met me in all of my sin. And I become acquainted with Him. Hey, and I called on Him, and I confessed, and I believed. And He saved me, and He made a change in me. I didn't understand all of it then. Still don't understand it all today. But I certainly didn't then. But I knew something had happened. I knew something was different. I knew I wasn't the same. But all this salvation that doesn't change anybody, this salvation, hey, that doesn't do a work inwardly in the heart. I don't know about it. But as many as received Him, notice, He gave them power, what? To become the sons of God. So, He works that grace in our heart. When we receive Him, there's a transaction that takes place in there. Hey, He takes away our sin, doesn't He? He washes it in His blood. I heard it said that He was the only one that could take a black heart and dip it in red blood and make it white as snow. And I want to tell you, I know that by experience. I know that. Hey, that morning, hey, you know what He did for me that morning? He met me right where I was at. I love the old song that says, when I could not come to Him, He came to where I was at. And I want to tell you that morning, as a desperate, lost sinner, a little 8-year-old boy, hey, listen, I could not get to where He was, but I'm glad, hey, He came to where I was at and He met me there. Oh, God. And He met the need of my heart. You know what He did? He took me, hey, and He plunged me all the way into the blood and brought me back up and declared me clean. He got my heart. He got everything about me. Hey, He washed it all and changed it. And I've never been the same. Hey, I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Now, so we see that. So now that there's a transaction there that when we receive Him, when we call on Him, we could go to Romans 10. We're all familiar with those scriptures, Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. I love those verses of Scripture. With the mouth confessions made, with the heart man believeth. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. All of that. Hey, listen. Something happens. There's a transaction. The Bible says that now, having received of that grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace through faith are you saved, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That grace comes in. The transaction there takes place. Hey, and He transforms us from the inside out. And Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now that grace that's appeared to all men. Those that have received it. Those that have received Christ. That grace has been poured into them and that grace has changed them. And like I said, listen. Somebody might ask, who's a candidate for that? All. Everybody. Everybody. Hey, listen. I told the church, I was preaching in the church last night. There in my hometown, well, actually Mount Pleasant, church you mentioned, Brother Guest was at for so many years. I preached there last night, And I was honest. Now, and I'll be honest with you this morning. I told them, I said, listen, if I thought this thing was just for a few, or just for a certain or whatever, hey, I said I'd fold my Bible up and quit preaching. But I'm glad, hey, listen, I'm glad that I can preach the gospel to anybody and everybody. Hey, Jesus told his disciples, said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. By the grace of God, that's what I'm going to do. Listen, this grace that's appeared is available for all if they'll accept it and receive it. If they're willing, hey, if they're willing to repent of their sins and in faith, believing that he had raised him from the dead, believing the gospel and faith in the finished work, listen, that grace comes in, hey, and it changes and it transforms the heart. So it would have Paul to write this for those of us that have been changed. This grace doesn't end there, does it? This grace, hey, this grace that's begun in us, this is a grace that's going to continue to work in us, this grace. Notice what he said in verse Titus 2 and verse 12. There's so much more we could say about that, but about that working, that salvation being worked in us. I heard it said that somebody, he was a Baptist preacher, and but I heard him, I didn't hear it from somebody, I heard it myself, and he said that when he would preach to his church, and he'd give invitations at the end of the service, he said God would begin telling him who's going to be saved and who wasn't. He said he could look out and he'd look out over his people and the Lord would say, well, that individual over there, they're not going to be saved. They're not going to trust me. This one over here, they're going to. This one's not. In this. No, listen. Listen, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You know what I call that? I call that privileged information. And it ain't privilege for you and I, is it? No, I'm serious. I'm being honest. Listen, that's privileged information. Hey, that thing's only known to God. The old prince of preachers, they come and ask him. They said, Dr. Spurgeon, or called him Brother Spurgeon, however, whatever they used there. But they asked him. They asked him this. They said, about preaching the gospel to everybody and who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. And he said, I'll tell you like this. He said, listen, when God starts putting stripes up their back, those that I'm supposed to preach to, he said, listen, then I'll go pulling up shirt tails when he starts putting yellow stripes. He said, hey, as long as he don't, I'm just going to preach to everybody. That's what he said. You know, there's those that like him. There's those that don't. Some say he's too strong. Some say he's not strong enough. But I kind of like that, and that stayed with me. He said, listen, what he's saying, that's privileged information. He said, if the Lord decides to let me in on it, and he wants to tell me who it is, hey, and he goes and puts straps up their backs, and I'll go raising shirt tails. But he said, otherwise, I'm just going to preach. And I'm going to preach to everybody. Hey, everybody that'll come into the sound of my voice. And so this grace, hey, this grace is available to all. Praise God. You know, if it wasn't available to all, what hope would you and I have? None. But I'm glad it's available to all. Hey, I'm glad that all is a candidate. And I don't buy into that stuff. What'd John say? John said, as Jesus came passing by, John looked out and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John knew. John knows. Now, so this grace, it's available to all that will receive. Hey, and for those that's received Him, this grace continues. See, we got to understand that it's grace, it's not works. Oh, listen, we're living in a day full of works. We're living in a day when Men think that they can work their way to heaven. They think that somehow by all that they do, they can merit the favor of God. But oh no, listen, it's grace. It's grace. That's why Paul would write in verse 5 of chapter 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Notice which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So He's worked that grace. That grace has come on the inside and changed us. And from the inside out, He began to change us. And He continues to work on us. Hey, that's sanctification. And so now that grace that had been worked in us, that grace now begins to come to the outside. You know, we can't, it can't help but make its way out, can it? My dad used to say, he said, you know, I used to hear him say, well, if I was to get saved, then I couldn't do everything I wanted to do anymore. He said, you know what? He said, I'd do everything I want to do. He said, difference is my wonder got changed. My wonder got changed. That's what happened to me. My wonder got changed. Hey, I do everything I want to do today. It's just my wonder got changed. What I want to do ain't what I used to want to do. But I do it. Hey, listen, I just love life. I love living. Hey, I love serving God. I love just living in life itself. And I want to spend my days. I'm honest this morning. I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to puff myself. Hey, listen, I'm honest. I want to spend my days serving Him. I want to be one that has a servant's heart and one that's willing to go the extra mile for others and one that God, hey, listen, I want to always be in such a place that God can use me at any moment, at any time. They surrendered. But notice verse 12, and I'll finish up here. Notice verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's that ongoing work. That's that work that's going on in the life of a Christian. And did you know that work is not finished until He calls us home, is it? You know, He'll never quit working on us. You know what? Hey, if He quit working on me, you know, I'd get kind of worried. If He stopped working on me, I'd get worried. But no, He continues to work on me. Hey, He continues. That same grace that bought us is the same grace that taught us. It teaches us what? To deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly and righteously and godly. In other words, it just teaches us to be separate. Did you know that, hey, separation's still good? Hey, did you know it's still all right to be separated from this world, to come out from among them? It's still all right to do that. It still honors God. It still pleases God. They'll say, well, you know, times have changed. You know, things have changed. Times changed. I mean, ideals change and you know, things just change. My answer is, yeah, they do, but God's Word never changes. Never changes. And if God's Word said through the pen of Paul to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously, hey, if he wrote it then, it's still good today. God's Word does not change. But I'm glad for that grace. I'm glad that grace that worked in my heart and transformed me, hey, and made me a new creature. But I'm glad that that grace didn't just stop there. But I'm thankful. Listen, I don't always like it. It's not always pleasant. Sometimes God has to bend me over and work me over. He does. But I know it's for my best. You know what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 12 about chastening? He said that it will bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness in those that's exercised thereby. In other words, that's the purpose in it. Hey, the purpose in it is to correct us and to bring us back into the way and sow those peaceable fruits of righteousness in our heart. But I'm glad for grace, and I'm glad that grace that saved me, that grace that bought me, is that grace just continues to work and continues to work daily in my life. You know what I find myself? Hey, listen, I find myself daily having to surrender. Daily. You know, a lot of people's got the idea, well, I surrendered when I was saved. No, you know what I found? I have to surrender every day. I do. I have to get up every day and surrender to the Lord that day. What did He say? Take up your cross daily and follow me. Crucify the flesh with its affections and lust. And I find that I have to do that. I find the old flesh rises up. As soon as my feet hit the floor, the old flesh wants to rise up and just ruin my day and begin trying to pull me here and pull me there and take me away from this and that, which I ought to be doing. I've never been much of a morning person, but I've got to get up early and go to work. And I try, when I get up, I try to do whatever I can to wake myself up so I can at least, before I leave the house, have some time in the Word of God and prayer. But you know what? Every morning I get up, the old flesh fights me every morning to do that. I get a lot of time at work, and I'm thankful for my job, the one I have now. I've got, I don't have crazy shifts no more. I mean, I've got straight shifts. I'm 8 to 4 Monday to Friday, off every weekend. Before, I was working swing shifts and working 12-hour weekends, and I didn't know whether I was coming or going. But God has now given me a job doing the same thing I was doing before, but now I do it 8 to 4 Monday through Friday, off on weekends. And I thank God for that. And I've got time. A lot of times I'm down there and things are running smooth. We're making water and everything's going great. Nothing's happening. And it's been like that for 2 or 3 hours. So I'll just sit down at my desk and I'll get my Bible out and I'll think, yeah, ain't nobody here. Everybody's gone. They're all out doing something. And I'm down here manning the plant. I'll just get my Bible out and I'll read and study a little bit. 5 seconds after I open that thing up, the phone starts ringing off the hook. Next thing, we got 2 computers we got to watch. It's got all the stuff on it about the plant and then all the way out in our system with our water tanks and all of this, and we got to monitor those things. The phone will start ringing, and an alarm will go off in there, and I got to get up and go see what's going on. I can put my Bible up and put it back in the drawer, and everything will just calm right back down. It never fails. It never fails. What is that? Hey, that's the devil. That's Satan. And you know what most of the calls are we get down there unless we have a leak? Now, we have a main break, and we got 200 people out of water. Yeah, we're gonna be flooded with calls. And they ain't going to be nice calls either. They're not going to be happy. They call them and know why they ain't got no water and what are we doing about it. But you know what most of them are? Answer it and say, this is Barclay Water. Can I help you? Yes, we're calling in regards to your extended warranty. Or yes, we're calling in regards to your student loans. I've never been to school. I don't have no loans. It's those kind of calls. And no sooner than I get in the Word of God, that's what happens. But listen, that's just the devil fighting. That's just the flesh fighting. But then there's some times when I'm down there alone by myself. And God just seems to work everything out. Everything's quiet. Phones don't ring. No alarms go off. And I've got an hour or two. Hey, and I can sit down there in peace and quiet. Hey, listen, and me and God just sit and talk. I get the Word of God out, and I start reading it and studying it. And I've got a lot of messages that way, just sitting there reading. And God give me thoughts, and I write them down. Next thing, I've got an outline. I've got a message to preach. Oh, isn't God good? Oh, I'm glad that God can... Hey, I'm glad that God can work against Satan, the flesh, hey, the world. Hey, I'm glad that He gained the victory over all of it. But you and I are to live separate. Listen, I appreciate what you said this morning, brother. That's true. Right on. That's why the fields are wide unto harvest. Oh, listen, we need to let grace do its work in our hearts, transforming us. You know why? And then I'm done. Notice what it said. I like verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, notice that He might redeem us from all iniquity. I like that little word, all. Don't y'all? I like that word, all. One preacher said, somebody asked me, he said, what does that word all mean? He said, all. All means all. I like that little word, all. Not so much in this Bible, I just got this Bible, but other Bibles I've got that I use that I mark in and underline. Every time I find that word all, I like to just underline it. All. For all have sinned. He redeemed us from all iniquity. I'm glad He has. Boy, I'm glad. I think about the song. My sins that were nailed, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to His cross. See, that's... So He's redeemed us from all iniquity. Grace of God has moved in and transformed us. Hey, now it's teaching us as we live. It's teaching us, hey, how to live. It's teaching us, hey, to deny and to separate. Hey, and to live unto God. Hey, I know we're not perfect. Not a one of us is perfect. I actually worked with a fellow one time that said he was. He had the nerve to tell me, I don't sin no more. I said, well, I hate to bust your bubble, but you just did, because you just lied. He said, well, me and my church, you know, God has so worked in us that we have now arrived at a state where we just can't sin no more. Even if we wanted to, he just went on. I said, listen, you're just adding lie on top of lie. Best thing you could do is just be quiet. Don't say nothing else. What am I saying? Listen, I know that we're not perfect, but listen, that's why, hey, grace that works in our hearts to transform us and then to teach us how to live and to keep us separated, hey, and to keep us right with God so that He can take us and use us in His service. Because why? Because that blessed hope that Paul said we've got, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. Listen, He's coming, isn't He? He's coming. Hey, I don't know when. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. But I can tell you, I believe it's near. Do you not? Do you believe it's near? I believe it is. I really do. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you this morning. I don't believe there's anything that has to be fulfilled for Him to come back right now. You know what I think? I don't know. You know, the Bible said the only one that knew was the Father. I know this. When that last one's called out, when that last one that's going to get saved, when that last one is saved, the Bible says that He's going to call us out in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Listen, we're going to be standing in 1 second, and another millisecond later, we're going to be gone. We're going to be snatched away, whether we're in the grave or whether we're living. But listen, that's the blessed hope that you and I have. Hey, listen, and time is short. Listen, if we're going to do anything for God, we better get busy. We better get busy. Don't put it off. Oh, listen, let me encourage you this morning. Don't put it off. But God has given me a burden. And I thank God for that. He's really given me a burden over the last year. I'll be honest with you, I hadn't pastored in 10 years. Not because I hadn't really wanted to, but I left the church. A lot of things went on in that church. I got, not saying it was right, but I got discouraged. But God led us to a church where we're at now for 10 years. And oh, what a blessing that church has been, and what a help that church has been to us, to me and my family. That church has been such a blessing to us. And over time, the church has started asking me. They made me Sunday school teacher and some other things. And God's just begin to use that and the opportunities to teach, and God's begin to light a fire again. I want to preach. Oh, I want to preach. And I want a pastor. I was just with the church Sunday that lost their pastor just a few weeks ago. Passed away suddenly, had a heart attack, a massive heart attack, barely alive, and then he had a stroke on top of that, and he didn't live out the night. That was on a Saturday night, and by Sunday morning, he was gone. He'd done gone home. And there was a church hurting without a pastor. They'd had a pastor. He had pastored for 25 years. And I went there and preached for them. And there's churches all over that need pastors. Hey, listen, there's places that men need to go all over the world and carry the gospel to some dark place that's never had the light of the gospel. And God's lit a fire in me, and God's burdened me and broken my heart, hey, to just preach and have a desire, hey, and ask God to open the door. And I've been praying, God, just open the door and let me go through. Wherever you want me, that's where I want to go. Because I know time is short. Oh, time is short. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning.